rum cabernet to Monet. They're here to slay the art history babes.
Art History Babe Briefs.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
I'm Natalie. And we are the Art History Babes.
And we're doing something kind of relevant for this baby episode because the royal wedding is coming up here very soon.
May 19th.
So
Meghan Markle. Prince Harry. Getting married.
You probably heard about it. It's kind of all over the place. And so we decided we would talk about a very important painting that needs to be discussed in really any art history experience. Must include this painting. And that is the Arnold Fini portrait.
Fini. Fini.
I like to think that Mr. Fini was related to the Arnold Finis or something.
He's a descendant of... Someone write their thesis on the character of Mr. Fini being related to... Make it happen.
Make it real. The Arnold Fini portrait is a very widely discussed work, and for a long time it was referred to as the Arnold Fini wedding. So in the realm of art history, it's probably one of the most talked about quote-unquote wedding portraits. Mm-hmm. However, that is kind of up for debate, which we will talk about. So yeah, to get you in the royal wedding mood, which is a very specific mood.
I don't know if I know this mood.
I don't really know it either.
But we're going to try, guys. We're going to get you there. So while there are many theories, the exact backstory of this painting is still somewhat of a mystery. So let's start with what we do know. The Arnold Fini portrait was painted by Dutch painter Jan van Eyck, and he painted it in 1434. The subjects are Giovanni di Niccolo Arnold Fini and his wife, and the painting is 82.2 by 60 centimeters oil on oak.
Jan van Eyck was a pioneer of early Netherlandish painting. He is known for his attention to detail and interest in the effects of light. He was able to paint incredibly detailed paintings using oil paint in an illusionistic way. Illusionism is the correct way to discuss realism in terms of art. Since this is a painting, it is not real, but representative of something real. We know it is not real, and the artist knows that we know it's not real. Anything appearing as realistic is therefore an illusion that we have agreed to buy into. So, the closer its likeness to reality, the stronger the effect of the illusion, illusionism.
Sorry if that sounded preachy, guys, but... Using the term realistic to describe paintings is kind of a touchy subject.
Yeah, it's one of those just weird things in the art historical lexicon, I think. Like, illusionism actually means what you think of as realism.
Exactly.
As something being realistic, because the illusion that the painting is creating is so good that it looks realistic.
If you whip that out in your art history one class...
Turn
some heads.
You'll blow some minds.
Get a gold star. The painting depicts two figures standing in the center of a lavish room. There's a window on the left wall, and you can see the edge of a large canopy bed off to the right. On the left stands a man in a large hat wearing a garment made of animal fur. Beside him stands a woman in a green gown with a fur trim and a white veil. Under her veil, you can see that her head has been shaved above her forehead, moving her hairline further back on her head, a traditional hairstyle of the time period. Her right hand rests upon his left hand, and both vacantly gaze in different directions, kind of unclear directions. Arnold Fini himself raises his right hand, and it's also unclear whether this is a symbolic gesture or a greeting to someone outside of the frame. Her hand clutches her lifted dress right above her stomach, and by their feet is a small dog.
And he is a great dog. We need to take a minute to just talk about this dog.
Puppy appreciation.
Oh, look at that dog. Like, he is a dog that I feel like he has lived some lives already. Like, he has just got, like, there is a light in his eye. Mm-hmm. He kind of has a little smirk. As we talked about previously, he has more expression on his face than the two characters in the painting.
So vacant stares on their faces. This dog is full of life. He's looking you dead in the eyes.
He's kind of a fancy man.
Oh, yeah. His fur was combed.
Yeah, he's very fluffy. And there's this kind of illusion of big, fluffy eyebrows. And he's just the best dog.
Corey loves this dog.
I really do. I want to make a meme out of this dog because I feel like he's just got such a great expression on his face. So, yeah. If for no other reason, you need to look up this painting for the dog.
And we should also probably mention that dogs are symbolic of fidelity. So,
yes.
That's a thing.
That's a thing. So the dog isn't just there for my personal amusement. Dogs tend to represent fidelity, loyalty, and things of that nature. And as we said, we don't quite know about whether or not it's a wedding portrait, but it being in a portrait of a couple does suggest...
It suggests that the painting's related to their marriage somehow, even if this isn't the wedding. It's
their
symbolizing
union.
Exactly.
Their union.
Perfect.
The painting used to be widely accepted as a wedding portrait, meaning a portrait representing the actual event of their wedding ceremony. It does depict a known married couple, and the position of the figures looks ceremonious. Some have even claimed that his wife is pregnant in the portrait, and maybe that spurred the marriage. Ooh, scandalous.
Scandal.
The more you look at this painting, the more apparent the juxtaposition between formal and relaxed features. The casualness of the bed and the shoes tossed aside clash with their formal attire and posture, and it's just kind of odd. It's just an odd thing, especially for the 1400s and for royalty.
Yeah. So the National Gallery, who own this painting, insists that it's not intended as a record of their wedding. They also refute the theory that his wife is pregnant. Instead, they assert that the appearance of a baby bump is actually because she's holding up her full-skirted dress, which was a contemporary fashion at the time. Instead, they believe that this is simply a portrait of the married couple, no pregnancy, no wedding. There's also a theory that his wife had passed away by the time this double portrait was painted, which would make this a memorial of sorts. And this is often backed up by the lack of unique facial features on her face compared to his. So
even though, as we discussed, they both look kind of dead.
Yeah, well, he just looks dull, but at least he looks like a real kind of person.
Kind of.
Because he is so funny looking. I mean, not funny looking, but you know, he has like wrinkles around the eyes and things that suggest a live model, essentially. And then the idea is that maybe she had passed away, and that's why hers is a little more, I don't know.
Yeah, his features are, while still he does have a very like dead in the eyes look, his features are a little more just like just unique, like unique's not the right word, but yeah, like
distinct.
Yeah. Whereas her features are more generalized, you know. She's kind of just a generalized woman,
which could also be explained by just trying to make her a little more idealized and beautiful seeming, you know, fitting the beauty standards of the time. So that's not a for sure indicator, but that's what's cited as evidence that she may have passed away.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Arnolfini was a member of a merchant family from Lucca living in Bruges. The couple are seen here in a well-appointed interior wearing luxurious clothing. The bed does not necessarily mean that they are in a bedroom. Beds were expensive and often housed in the living room in an attempt to show off.
I love that.
My bed's in my living room, and it's definitely not because I have money.
We're living in a different time.
Can we like bring that back? When people come over, I can
My
like,
bed's in my room.
We all have beds in our living room.
Because we all just live in really small spaces.
People come over. Look at my...
Jen's bed's in her living room, too.
Look at my great wealth.
Ginny has a bedroom. She's well off. Or not. Who's to say?
Yeah, who is to say? I mean, times have changed.
Van Eyck signed his name in ornate Latin scrawl across the back wall above the convex mirror in the painting. It translates as, Jan van Eyck was here, 1434. Van Eyck often signed his work in a clever manner. I mean, this is pretty goofy.
I mean, I think it just speaks to how much humans haven't changed.
Yeah.
like, everyone just wants to be like, hey, I was here, man. Like, we've literally all done it at some point.
Oh,
Corey was here. And even on this painting that he painted himself, he just, like, need to make it clear. Jan van Eyck was here.
In the 1400s. That's 1400 tagging.
Yeah, for real. I love it. 1400s
tagging.
I love it.
In the mirror, so back to the convex mirror, two figures can be seen standing behind in the doorway. This may mean that Arnolfini is raising his right hand in order to greet them. So again, just adding to these shrouds of mystery about the painting. Is it Van Eyck in the mirror? It's too small to see or to know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And who's with him? Should we care about them?
So enigmatic.
Yeah, and that's why we're still talking about this painting.
Yeah. Yeah, this painting, widely researched, all kinds of stuff on it. You can find so much information. A couple of resources that I found in researching for this episode. There's an episode of the BBC's A Stitch in Time about the Arnolfini portrait. It's actually really fun because she gets to actually recreate the portrait and like wear the infamous green dress. And if you like fashion and fashion history, this is a must see because it really goes into the details of fabric and color and the making of this dress and what that meant historically and socially. So it's really interesting. So definitely check that out. There's also kind of in tandem, there's an episode of the Art Detective podcast that I just discovered yesterday, hosted by Janina Ramirez, and I love her so much. She has like the cutest British accent in the entire world. And she's just lovely. And hopefully we can like team up someday because I really love her.
That'd be cool.
Right. But it's about the portrait. And she actually has Amber Butchart from A Stitch in Time on to discuss the portrait in terms of both historical importance and also in relation to fashion history and design. So that's another great place to look for kind of a fun take on this portrait. There's so much, yeah, mystery, an enigma surrounding this, and so many really interesting interpretations. People have kind of just layered on top of layer on top of layer over the years. But hopefully this gave you a good idea of what's actually going on, what people are thinking, and a good place to start in case you want to look into it further.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a new one.
Perfect. That's perfect.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history babes.
And he painted it in 1934. The subjects
1934?
Are 1834.
18. Nope. Like that can't be right.
I'm a contemporary art historian, guys. What can I say? This is what happens when I step outside of my century.
Okay, let's try this again.
So the Arnolfini portrait was painted by the Dutch painter Jan van Eyck, and he painted it in Who's editing this? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
There were many years before the 1900s.
That's all I know.
The Art History Babes podcast is made possible by support from our lovely listeners via Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/arthistorybabes to help keep the Art History Babes going and for access to bonus content.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.